You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Elevate your summer with Osea's best-selling body care set. It's everything you need for radiant summer skin on the go. Featuring travel sizes of Osea's clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral skincare, like their best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil. Right now, you can get the bestseller's body care set, a $78 value, 33% off. And use code SUMMER to save an additional 10%. That's an additional 10% off at oceamalibu.com, code SUMMER.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Stugatz, you smell that? Is that me?
Probably.
I smell it back here.
Yeah. Do you smell that too?
I do. I know exactly what that smell is. Hold on.
I can't quite place it.
Everyone take a sniff.
Yeah, deep sniffs.
Augusta?
No, not close.
It's close.
Not quite. You know what I smell? I smell playoffs, baby.
Wow.
That's right. The NBA playoffs started last night. I know the schedule doesn't say that. But boys, if you watched basketball last night, man, even the Spurs made the playoffs last night. How about that? Victor Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. That was a great game. There were so many great games last night.
The Heat and Knicks, yes. So you're declaring that the NBA playoffs have begun.
The playoffs have started. I was at Heat Knicks, and first of all, the crowd was incredible. I've never seen this before. It was legit NCAA tournament style, 50-50.
It really was.
Like, I know there are usually a lot of Knicks fans in the building for Heat games. This one felt obnoxious to the point where, A, we got dueling MVP chants for Brunson and for Butler. Every time they went to the free throw line, like, loud MVP chants. And then, B, there was a point in late in the game where the crowd was chanting, "Let's go, run! Let's go, run!" And I could not tell whether it was Knicks or Heat. It was that many people shouting it at the same time. It was incredible. And by the way, let me just say right now, this ain't your older brother's Knicks. They're
good.
They're good. Yes. Man, there's a point when I'm watching, like, holy shit, like, they used to make mistakes, and like, you knew they were gonna do something boneheaded down the stretch. Like, no, not these guys.
I do like that they're staying in these games on the road against a team like the Heat, and they're without two of their best players.
Sure. I mean, the Heat,
like, they're doing it with McBride.
McBride's nice.
Whose Knicks are they, though? Are they like your uncle's Knicks?
Yeah. These are your Knicks.
Yeah, only your Knicks, because they haven't
won yours,
for anybody.
Lehman. These are Lehman's Knicks, and Taylor, and who else is a Knicks fan around?
Pablo Torre.
Pablo Torre, we don't know who's...
He's got a lot of teams.
He's Sixers one day, he's Knicks the next, who knows?
Really, coming from you?
He's often at Nets games with Jason Sudeikis.
What?
Yeah. He's got his little basketball crew. He was in Albany.
Everyone to know about it.
Yeah, he was in Albany with Sudeikis, Ezra Edelman. Like, there's a little crew there of hoopers.
I feel like we didn't. First of all, they're not hoopers.
Hoop watchers.
Yes. Hoop watchers.
I got to see those Jays.
Thank you.
Real hoop watchers. No.
Look at that. There he is with a very self-serving selfie. Like, how do you do this? I don't do this. I don't ask people Even if I'm friends with him, I don't ask him.
Like, that's the point in the night when Sudeikis regretted it the most. Yep. When Pablo's like, hey, can we do a selfie? He's like, oh, we're doing this.
You know what that is? There's probably some dude in that group of hoop watchers that didn't make it to Albany. And you take a picture, hey, let's send to so-and-so. And then you got your picture
and then
to
you
post.
Then you post it.
To make that person jealous?
That's the move. Yeah. That was probably for Rydell.
Have you ever been in one of these selfies?
Yeah, have
who's
I been
the most famous person that you've taken one of these? Oh, let's send this to so and so because I did it with Dan Patrick once.
Really?
Wow. DP,
who'd you send it to?
Dan Le Batard.
Oh, I thought you said Priya.
DL.
I did do that with Colin Cowherd at WrestleMania last year.
What? You sent it to Colin Cowherd or
no? I took a picture of Colin Cowherd, like we selfied it to send to Dan.
Oh, okay. You guys use Dan a lot in these.
Well, that's a move, and then you know. Like the memories pop up 1 year ago. Oh, yeah, let me post that with Colin Cowherd.
It's all about the memories, man. Stugatz, have you ever pulled this move? Like, take a selfie with someone famous under the guise of, I'm sending this to Dan?
No, I want it for me. That's the way I go about it. Like, hey, I like you. Let's take a selfie together. I'm not sending it to anyone.
Have we discovered the one place where Stugatz is actually going to be honest and straightforward? You tell them, like, no, this is for my purposes.
Stugatz has done this. It's just ended up being someone else. So
that's right.
Not Aaron Rodgers.
For what it's worth, the selfie was in response to a fan who had tweeted at Pablo saying he thought he saw Pablo in the crowd around Sudeikis and Ezra Edelman.
No, it wasn't.
Look, he took the selfie one way or another.
It was not in response. He just had it in the bag, and he's like, you know what?
Bless you.
Okay.
You good?
I'm back.
In Pablo's defense of that point, I did just see Pablo during that broadcast where I was like, was that Pablo that I just saw before I had seen all the pictures?
I'm going to tell you what I saw before I saw the pictures. I saw a video. Like like Caitlin Clark hit a three, the replay, they're showing her running back up court.
High fives.
And as they pan, not just high fives, I saw Pablo doing like the 3-point sign like she does. And I said, there's your objective journalist, Metalock Media. Right there.
He's a big Iowa fan now, huh?
All of a sudden, out of the blue.
Yesterday was just a market correction for him.
He wants us to talk about this. You know, he like sent the picture to Slack and was like, in case you guys bring up the fact that I was with Jason Sudeikis, because they put this up during PTI yesterday. Yeah. Him and Kornheiser were talking about it. Oh, and I'm like, God. Oh, you know he sent this to the producers.
Okay.
We should get Pablo on to talk about this.
You know what? I'll get on.
It's a good idea.
I'll shoot him a text right
just
now.
Just this.
I'll ask him to come on and answer for his sins against humanity. This guy, Pablo Torre. I'm beginning to see what you see in him, Stugatz.
What do you mean, what I see in him?
This guy.
I've never said anything bad about Pablo.
All he sees in him is a plug.
And the guy's figuring stuff out. I don't see anything.
The Heat and Knicks, though. I mean,
finding out.
It's fine.
Featuring
the Heat and Knicks, right? So
yes.
That game last night pulls the Heat within two games of the Knicks, miraculously. Like, this is after it looked like the Knicks might be a two seed, and the Heat, man, well, get used to the play-in. All of a sudden, the Heat are a half game back of Indiana. They're two games back of the Knicks. They're two games back of the Magic, too. I mean, it's like, wait a second. Is it too little, too late, or is it just enough at just the right time?
Getting healthy at the right time.
Oh, boy.
Kevin Love played his first minutes in over a month last night. What you saw last night in terms of your rotation, if Tyler Hero doesn't come back, which all the players and Spo continue to insist that he will come back and be available at some point. Obviously, I mean, when he went out, nobody expected it to be this long. But if he doesn't come back, last night is your playoff rotation. The minutes that you saw last night, Jaime Jaquez is going to be probably that last guy in your rotation. If Tyler comes back, he takes from Jaquez primarily. But what you saw, including your closing lineup of Terry Rozier, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and then Haywood Highsmith and Caleb Martin in there playing defense and hitting threes. Look, they've been playing really good basketball as of late. The previous two wins were over the Blazers and the Wizards, so everybody discounted them. But now, with the win over the Knicks and you get Joel Embiid and the Sixers on Thursday, it seems like they're starting to play in the right direction.
Dude, all I'm saying, Scary Terry arrived last night.
Scary Terry.
Mike needs to apologize.
Kevin Love, Kevin Love and Spo both said after the game, like, the defense, like, Scary Terry is comfortable now, and he's arrived.
Hey, they put Jalen Brunson in the blocks, in the blockade. What is it? Stockade. That's what
Adam
it's called,
in the gulag.
Yeah, oh, man.
Stocks. I think it's just stocks.
Stocks. Stop.
But, Chris, no, but if you ask Knicks fans, he was just fouled all night. Oh. And ask Tom Thibodeau. Just
wait,
fouled.
But you're saying he's arrived now. He's coming off games in which he scored 27 points,
but
24 points.
Okay. Defensively is what I was talking
Mike,
about.
Mike, how do you feel about this?
If that's the Terry Rozier that you're going to get, who wouldn't like that? It's just Terry Rozier is entirely capable of going for 34 points.
We're not talking about the – I didn't know. We mentioned the points. We were talking about his defense.
Yeah,
no,
defense
on Brunson.
Good. I didn't watch last night. I don't really have interest in the NBA regular season. I'll be there for
the
playoffs.
But the playoffs
have
already started.
Yeah, but the playoffs have been going on the ice for 2 months.
So you could take a break. If the playoffs have been taken for 2 months, you could take a break, watch the NBA playoffs.
I'm telling you, the NHL has just been so good that I'd rather watch Ducks Flames than Knicks Heat.
Then Wemby versus Jokic.
Why would I want to watch Jokic versus Wembanyama? The Spurs?
Because
it was incredible.
It was an amazing game.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but the Spurs stink. I'm with Mike on that.
No, but they almost won.
Tell me about it.
So what?
Stu.
Even if they had won.
Stu, Wemby almost had a quadruple double.
Just not really feeling the sport right now. That's all. And I'm happy that the Miami Heat are winning. I'll turn it on come playoff time. I wish Terry Rozier was what you saw last night. He seemed to have a really good game. Terry Rozier is who he's always been. Always been.
Scary
he's
going to
do this.
Scary.
He's going to do this once in the playoffs. Hopefully it's against Boston. That'll be great. And then the next game, he might go 0-7 in the first half and drive you crazy. He might end up with a 4-17 stat line. That's just who Terry Rozier is.
Mike, among other things that happened in basketball since you were too busy watching little men skate around on ice.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not tough.
Yeah, no. You know what's tough? Joel Embiid.
You were watching little men running around in shorts.
Not little men. Like, big men. Like, big men. Big men.
What is
big
that?
Dogs.
What is that? Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So, when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Number 3, Chick-fil-A waffle fries.
Love it.
I think it's an overrated fry.
You guys go ketchup or Chick-fil-A sauce when you have the Chick-fil-A fry?
Polynesian sauce.
Polynesian. Wow. That's my brother right there.
Good call.
You're my brother.
Stugatz.
Oh, my God.
What a weird interaction.
Wow.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Joel Embiid came back last night.
Yeah, I was just looking at highlights. He's going to be back in time for that Miami Heat game. That's cool.
New haircut.
Yeah, it's just a personal preference. I'm glad Terry Rozier did well. I'm glad that Heat fans are feeling themselves again. As Stugatz mentioned, there were players hurt for the New York Knicks. The Miami Heat are running into some good luck. That changes with Joel Embiid now back into the lineup. Maybe they gave him a maintenance day because he came back against the Thunder, but they're catching teams at the right time now.
So, we talked about Scary Terry putting Jalen Brunson in the hole, right? Prison style. There was one person who thought it was prison fouls out there. And that person was Tom Thibodeau. Take a listen to his post-game press conference.
Well, you know, the thing, he's not going to play great in every game. No, there's no player in this league does. And so the challenge is to still find a way to win, which, you know, he did a lot of good things. I think, he, you know, it's pretty good when you have 20 points and 10 assists and the game is tied with, you know, a few minutes to go. And you know, it wasn't an A-plus game for him, but he's going to compete on every possession. And that's all you could ask of anyone. So missed shots shouldn't impact him. You know, and again, it says 10 free throws, but, you know, he's getting fouled. It's really, yeah, I hate to say it, it's that simple. He's getting fouled. 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 he's getting fouled.
Tibbs needs to come home, I think.
By the way, my my kids, when they saw Tibbs for the first time, they said, I swear to God, this is from the mouth of one of the 10-year-olds. That guy doesn't have a bald spot. He has a hair spot. I love you, Tibbs.
It's got the island.
He's getting fouled. It reminded me of, first of all, I sat there in that press conference, watched him answer the question, which was, Jalen Brunson had a tough shooting night and a bunch of turnovers. How do you feel? And that's why he started with, well, he's not going to have a great game every night. And it was a regular answer. And then at some point where he said 10 free throws, you can see his eye twitch and everything snap. And then it's like he just went into like spiral mode, right? And in person, I felt like I was the one having a stroke. Like, what's happening here? Do I smell toast, right?
Yeah, because his face doesn't really change as he's saying it.
Yeah, it was like
the cadence is exactly the same.
It was like that CD skipping like we were talking about
exactly.
yesterday.
And you smell playoffs.
I smell playoffs. Yeah.
Were all the reporters
Were you
like
smelling
looking?
Toast?
So everyone else.
There was an actual eye twitch.
I don't want to run it back. It's a long video.
I didn't notice it.
But you could see like his face like glitch almost, and then it's like, oh man, this is the point that I've been angry about for a long time and I can't hold it anymore. But here's the other thing I thought, listening to him say it's getting fouled, it reminds me of the Borat skit where he goes to a self-defense class and wants to learn about defending against a certain group of people, and he says, what if he comes out to you with the claw, he's getting fouled. I was just like, Borat? Is Jalen Brunson getting fouled? Like, I just saw someone who got locked up.
Well, what Thibs is saying is he went to the line 10 times, probably should have went to the line 20 times. It doesn't matter to me. Like, the Knicks have been so impressive this entire year. They're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
This is as good as it gets for a Knicks fan if you're my age. It really is. Like, the fact that I know we had Ewing, we had those teams, they were great teams. But I had no idea Jalen Brunson was going to be able to be the best guy on a team and lead that team into the playoffs consecutive years. So,
Stugatz, let me ask you, as resident New Yorker.
Yes.
Do you ever see the tide turning on Brunson? Because New York does this, right? After a while, like if you don't deliver, it's like, man, this guy.
He's got to win some playoff series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's won one.
I think his story is so unexpected that I don't think Knicks fans are going to get on him if they lose in the first round this year. I really don't, because no one expected this from Brunson.
I feel like there's a bunch of people, there's a long line of people who get got first, who get whacked first before they get to Brunson, right?
Like, Randall's first in line.
Randall's absolutely first
no
in
doubt.
Line.
Yes.
Tibbs is not that far behind,
nope.
Even though I think he's done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Leon Rose, you know, what's his name? Josh Hart. Even though they love Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson. It's like almost everybody on the roster is going to get got first before they get to...
Before Brunson.
Instead, they have him on such a great deal, and he's overplaying his deal so much that it's like, how do you do anything to a guy that you have control from a contract perspective who's giving you this output?
Oh, that's what I'm saying, Tony. It's all about expectations, right? I mean...
But I'm not talking about like the people in charge. I'm talking about the fans. The fans in the media. What point... Because they turned on Patrick Ewing. Like, who was literally, if you look back, it's like, this is the only good thing to happen to the Knicks for like 15 years.
I know, but Ewing came in with massive expectations, championship expectations. No one thought Jalen Brunson was going to lead the Knicks to an NBA title.
Yeah.
You know?
So many still don't think that, Stu.
How do you know? You're watching.
I'm not watching. I'll watch in the playoffs, and like, I don't know. There's just options now, and it's just not... They just don't care as much.
How are the NHL playoffs going?
The NHL playoffs have been going on for like 2 months. Every night there's a banger. Toronto plays Tampa today. Last night Nashville played Boston. There's just cities. There's okay. Well, like okay. I guess
you have the schedule.
Like, I guess you can disparage a sport that I'm presently favoring more. I mean, anyone that knows me over the air for 19 years, I've been primarily on the air, like, a Miami Heat guy. I love hoops. I love the Miami Heat. I'm the reason why there's this awful Twitter version of Miami Heat fans.
Mike.
In part, like, Ryan Cortez doesn't exist without me. Jeremy Tache doesn't exist without me.
You made them.
I did. They're made from my image. I'm just telling you right now, I'm as bored with it as they are.
Jeremy?
I don't even know what to say.
Well, he's right.
Taking credit for me existing is a new one.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the on-air persona, you're very welcome.
Who's your daddy and what does he do?
I know the Knicks daddy. It's Bam Adebayo.
They
think Bam is a dirty player.
It's so funny.
They're the only fan base in the NBA that thinks that.
So, Jeremy, this is the fun part, right? I'm in a group chat with a bunch of my friends from New York who are all crazy Knicks fans. And that's how this theory landed on my doorstep about a year and a half ago, where they just started to say, Bam, dirty player. I'm like, what? And so they have like this great highlight reel of greatest hits by Bam Adebayo showing that he's secretly a dirty player. And my thing is, I think if Bam were a dirty player, the Celtics fan base would have sniffed this out a long time ago.
1,000%.
Would have been a much louder presence given that they played each other 8 million times in the last 4 years, including actual meaningful games as opposed to what most of these Knick games have been.
Bam with an edge? Now that sounds appealing. I'm into
you
that.
You wish he was a dirty player.
Yes.
Yes.
No, if there was an edge, I'd be all for that. Be a little bit dirty. He could afford some of that.
He was dominant last night, man.
That's great. Again, the Knicks are a bit beat up, so I don't know how much we can read into these things, but it's great
but they're
that
going to be beat up.
It's great for them that Terry Rozier is more comfortable, especially defensively. And I think what really excites me is Haywood Highsmith probably coming online a little bit here, maybe getting himself into that rotation. I think on the perimeter, the guy can give the Miami Heat something defensively, and if he can knock down shots in a timely fashion and look like a guy that someone's going to overpay by about $60 million when he comes up for a contract, that's Heat basketball.
Pulled him in.
I hear passion. I hear passion in his voice.
It's a 30-pounder.
Listen, you smell playoffs.
Yeah, smell it.
Right? I liken Miami Heat basketball at this point to the election coming up in November, which is I'll dial it up when I have to. I'm just like super fatigued with the ups and downs of the Miami Heat season and them playing just flat out unappealing basketball games. Jimmy Butler told me it was time and then he took 3 games off. Like it's just bring the games on. Too many superstars sitting. I don't feel like watching these bad games against the Wizards, even though I have occasionally. It's just I have options right now. Like any discerning sports fan, I'm just picking what's a little bit more appealing to me. There are times out, this is going to shock you, that I'm favoring baseball games.
No,
over,
get out of here. You're lying.
Right now, my
you're
least...
You're gambling.
I am gambling. I am gambling again. I've maybe bet 7 NBA games because I'm not going to bet on games that I don't know. And trust me, that takes a lot for me to admit because there are times that I just fly blind.
You bet on South Korean baseball during a pandemic.
Yeah, but I know that. I know that.
What do you mean you know it?
The Dinos were my team. I run in circles where people got a good hunch on a game and I listen to that. I don't watch that. But when it comes to the NBA, it's just I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it right now. I'll watch during the playoffs. Trust me, I will come around to it, especially if the Heat are in it. Why do I have to explain myself so much? I'm just not feeling it that much right now. I'll be coming back.
But Amin is saying he smells the playoffs. The playoffs have begun.
It seemed like a cool atmosphere.
Right.
I'm just explaining what I just didn't feel like doing that last night.
Amin, I'm glad you smell the playoffs because coming in today, I thought I wanted to play a game, okay. Called If the Season Ended Today.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll sprinkle these in throughout the course of the show here. But in the East, if the season indeed ended today, in the East, you would have a 7-8 matchup play-in game, Heat Sixers.
Massive.
And a preview for that tomorrow night with Joel Embiid in the lineup, perhaps, maybe. We don't know, but
he'll play.
He'll play.
Yeah. He'll play in that game. They need it.
They need it,
and it's not the second night of a back-to-back, so he has today to recover.
Jessica, I did not watch last night because I was watching a playoff game here in Miami. How did
I did because the Knicks Heat game was blacked out at my apartment. That is like a 2-minute drive from the Heat arena, so that's great. Even though we have league pass, couldn't watch it. Should have texted Jer Bear for his Bally Sports login, but I figured he was busy.
I mean, I would never share that.
I watched the first half. Embiid looked good. I mean, he looked like a little tired, a little gassed, but like he looked good. He had a huge brace on his knee, but overall, I was like, okay, not bad.
And a new haircut.
Yeah.
Did he have the Juju Watkins like in the commercial? You guys have not seen that commercial?
I've seen the haircut where he's in the barber's chair and they try different hairstyles on him.
And then Juju Watkins.
See, I know ball, man.
You guys watch commercials? immediately zone out.
Really? I watch commercial. It's
if you're
tough.
Watching a live event, though?
I watch live events.
Immediately zone out.
I saw a bunch of, I think I saw that commercial during Iowa LSU.
I love commercials. I don't know why.
I haven't watched a commercial in like 7 years.
Do you have a structured settlement?
Immediately zone out.
You
need cash now? Right now? Call JG
That's an older commercial, so I've seen
877 Cash Now?
Yeah, I saw.
It's from Curb.
Yeah, I saw Curb last night based on your recommendation.
And?
I knocked out an episode. It's getting warmer.
Dude, yeah, I'm getting warmer. You, man.
And I saw it like Richard Lewis did look worse in this episode.
Yeah. I'm telling
you. This was the script one. I thought the girl that was dating Funkhauser knocked it out the park.
What a great episode.
Yeah, she knocked it out the park.
The moment where Vince Vaughn realizes that she just works at the Disney store and he turns and looks at her.
So good.
Perfect. That was a perfect. That was an all-time episode.
She was great. I had to look her up afterwards because I think she's going to be in a couple things.
Stugatz.
I said that well.
You're not playing the game correctly. You're supposed to choose a winner here.
Oh, yes. Heat.
You're taking the Heat over the Sixers.
Yeah.
All right. If the season ended today, 9-10, Bulls and Hawks.
Ooh.
That's going to be a good-ass game.
Loser goes home.
Now, is Trae Young playing or not?
If the season ended today, you tell me.
Trae Young's not playing. Right. That's how they play that game.
But are they better, though?
They're better.
Without Trae Young.
Tell you what, if there's a game on the calendar, if there's a game on the calendar tomorrow night that I absolutely must see in the NBA, let me know, and I'll give it a try. I'm giving baseball a
Heat
try.
Sixers.
And I'm liking baseball, as I just attested to. Baseball changed all the things that I was asking for them to change. And I haven't done my part in giving it a fair chance.
This is you holding up your end of the bargain.
Yeah, I'm holding up my end of the bargain. What I found out is I need a rooting interest to really follow the sport.
And see-through uniforms.
And see-through uniforms. Well, the uniforms are, we got into it last, the uniforms are a disaster, and it's triggering.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
Dick Prince.
I have problems watching these games with mismatched grays. It's just really rough on
and
the
Cox.
Eyes. But the sport is flying by. The game is kind of pleasant to experience. Some of these teams are doing really creative things with their broadcasts, and I'm liking baseball. I'm glad I gave it a shot.
You sound very, you know what you sound like? You sound like someone in like couples therapy.
Yeah.
I think my relationship with this microphone is often that.
Be nice if the Marlins could create a win. I mean,
must win today?
It's getting there.
Dan Le Batard.
All these high paid analysts. I don't want to mention names. TNT, ESPN, you know, they are dead. They cannot. They're not going to make it. You know, even if they win if they lose in Miami,
I need to calm you down. I need
that's
to
right.
Calm
if they
you
lose
down.
In Miami, they don't got a chance in Boston. Or they are going to have their ass. You know what? In Boston, you know,
Stugatz.
They were wrong. Are they going to lose their job? No. Are they going to get a cut in pay? No. What are they going to do? Keep predicting what is the obvious. They're going to say, "Oh, the Nuggets are going to win. Oh, Denver, the altitude." And you know what? The Heat are going to win it all.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
All right, we located him. I sent the urgent text out to Pablo Torre. Apparently, it found him in bed. He gathered himself. He splashed some water on his face. He wiped the crust out of his eyes.
Hmm.
Put on his glasses.
Splash.
Yeah, there it is. And
I have an issue with you before we get to
with
Pablo.
Me?
Yes, we're doing if the season ended today, and I keep asking you about particular matchups, and you're not giving me the result, and I need the result so we can continue to play the game.
Hawks.
What was the question?
It was the play-in game, the Bulls and the Hawks, the 9-10. You already have the Sixers, the Heat beating the Sixers. So.
I've got...
Thank you.
Okay, that's good music right there. I've got the Hawks winning.
Okay.
It's the season ended today.
So Hawks-Sixers quickly, then we'll get to Pablo.
Sixers.
Okay, good. So the Sixers are the 8, the Heat are the 7.
Yes.
All right, continue.
I didn't know he's filling out an actual bracket here. So prepared, Stugatz.
Thank you.
Pablo, before we even allow you to say a single word on this program, let me just do this real quick. Look at me, Lou.
I deserve that. I didn't come on here to talk about this. I feel blindsided.
Yes, you did.
I am wiping crust out of my eyes. I am wearing glasses. I do feel gross. I am very tired. Didn't want to talk about this, but I will talk about this because I guess I'm already here. So what do you want to know?
So first of all, I don't believe you when you say you didn't come on here to talk about this.
I have an episode I'm trying to get people to listen to. It involves a giant, giant scandal. It's really interesting. And yet I'm talking about something that I think is significantly less important. Significantly, significantly less important. So
you sent the picture to us in advance of this conversation.
I did not send the picture to you. I put it on, I guess, a platform where millions of people could see it, in fairness. Okay. So not directly for you, mostly for others. Right. Look, I feel bad because I kind of gentrified Lucy's whole fandom here.
Absolutely.
I showed up. I had no prior stake in this, and I felt myself guiltily sending Lucy just updates and videos, almost with cameo style, because I was at this game with fucking Ted Lasso. Yeah, it's true.
The part that I thought was most offensive, if I may be blunt, was...
We're ranking various parts that were offensive.
I just know what was the most offensive.
It has to be him being an Iowa fan, right?
Well, no, it wasn't even that. Or it is related to that. There's a shot, right? Caitlin Clark hits a shot. They call timeout. We're going to break. And as we're going to break, they're showing the replay. And she's running back up court. And as they pan, I see the unmistakable figure, the silhouette of Pablo Torre doing the Caitlin Clark three-point celebration.
Oh, you saw that?
I saw that one. Everyone's got the high five. I saw the one where you're doing the celebration. And that, sir, is disgusting.
I was doing all sorts of celebrations. I was doing high fives. They did three to the dome. I was doing that for a while. I want to say this because I want Lucy to understand how much I enjoy this on her behalf. That was as much fun as I've ever had at a sporting event. I truly mean that. It was one of the great, you guys watched it all. Everybody watched it. The entire country watched it more than anybody's ever watched a college basketball game played by women before ever. So I think you guys have a sense of this. But every time she pulled up, I stood. And I'm not just saying that to say, wow, look at me, the biggest Caitlin Clark fan. It was just that exciting. Like, I cannot stress how unbelievable the Albany, I think it was the MVP arena that we showed up in, this like tiny place, contained one of the great sporting events in basketball history. Truly, I mean that. And so, yeah, I was doing all sorts of stuff that compromised my journalistic integrity. It's true. I didn't know Amin saw all of it, but I was doing all sorts of stuff. I was like hugging Iowa fans. I was sitting next to Caitlin Clark's family.
But you really don't
want to
talk about it.
We embraced after the game. Look at
you. No. It was absolutely appropriate to have that many. So you showed up at the arena. How'd you show up?
That's not important.
Hi. How'd you show up?
On 2 feet.
So you walked
with
Albany.
With a jacket on.
You walked Albany?
Or? Took a chopper.
Look, I live in New York City.
You took a chopper?
And there are only so many ways to get to Albany.
The train, right?
And so I got to Albany.
Train, right.
Did you take a chopper?
Absolutely, he did.
Look, all I'm here to say is that the best way to get from New York City to Albany is not by train and not by car, because, of course, it's so annoying to get to Albany. I hadn't been to Albany since the New York State High School Debate Championship.
You took a chopper.
Which we won, by the way.
Dork.
How long is a chopper ride?
Are those headsets from the chopper that they have on right now?
Look, guys, I'm not here to talk about planes, trains, and automobiles. Right? Come on.
How long is that chopper ride?
Mm-hmm.
And just out of curiosity.
If you were to take it.
I mean, hypothetically, it would be like 45 minutes door to door.
Well, I do want to switch gears because you had a pretty major story drop on your famous podcast. The Stugatz called it Pablo Torre Figures Out.
Figure stuff out. He's finding stuff out.
Stugatz did not hear the episode, so I had to give him an encapsulation of a very sophisticated, very nuanced story.
I'm getting to it.
And it took me a good 5 minutes to explain all the details. So how can you explain this story to our audience in about 30 seconds?
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you to watch and listen to this episode. I promise it's worth it. I promise. It sounds boring because it's about mortgage lending. I promise that this explains a lot about America and the NBA. And there's a voicemail that I will use just to dangle for your audience specifically, if you can play that voicemail that we have in the episode.
Hey, buddy, hope you're doing good. Just want to say I love you. We took those suckers down. Fuck them. And we're going to keep sticking it to them forever. Fuck those guys. We're number one. We kick the shit out of them. Brokers are number one. UWM's number one. You're number one. We're all number one together. And fuck them. I fucking hate them with all my heart. And we're going to keep kicking their ass every fucking day. That's why I was here fucking 4 a.m. again today. I don't give a fuck. We're going to keep kicking ass. And so, love you, man. We talked about it. We waited for weeks to go up. I'm going to win. You're going to win. Both are happening right now. Keep hiring. Keep building. Keep growing. Let's fucking go.
Sounds like a regular business voicemail.
What's wrong with that?
You should know that this episode is an interview I did with a reporter from Hunterbrook Media, a new media company that does investigation into public data. And so along the road of investigating the public data around mortgage lending in America, this reporter, Sam Koppelman, was led to the feet of Matt Ishbia, who happens to own the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury, who happens to have paid a record price, $4 billion, that's the valuation of those teams, in December 2022. And that's his voice. That's Matt Ishbia's voice. And who Matt Ishbia is talking about, what he's talking about there, is his desire to obliterate Dan Gilbert.
Wait a second. The same Dan Gilbert from the Cavs?
Look, the story is about how two NBA owners are fighting in the way that you just heard for control of an industry that you may recall was at the heart of the financial crisis in 08. And so what I'm saying here is that using public data, it has been revealed by Hunterbrook that approximately $39 billion over the last 4 years in American homebuyers' mortgages went to Matt Ishbia and United Wholesale Mortgage, the king of mortgage lending. These are independent brokers, okay? And I just want to explain very briefly here, and then you can listen to the episode. I'll stop talking about mortgages.
Okay.
But in America, independent mortgage brokers are supposed to be the advocates for everyday American homebuyers. And what the data shows is that there are thousands upon thousands of them who send Matt Ishbia 99% of their business. 99%, despite saying we're going to shop around, get you the best deal. They send those people 99% of the business, Matt Ishbia, despite there being cheaper options elsewhere. So the question is why and how? And it gets to Dan Gilbert. It gets to Isaiah Thomas, which is how I started reporting the story. I fell into an Isaiah Thomas rabbit hole and was led to Sam's reporting on this. It's wild. It's genuinely one of the biggest stories in sports in recent years, as well as one of the biggest stories in business. It might be, as Hunterbrook claims, the biggest mortgage fraud since the financial crisis. And also, there's a guy saying cocksucker a lot and cursing like a zillion times in 30 seconds.
Market.
There's huge implications because of the housing crisis. There was all sorts of reform that followed. This is, even though there's flashy headlines with bleep sucker and an NBA story here, this is a business story that Hunterbrook Media broke. What kind of feedback are you hearing? How is this circulating in the business world?
Yeah, so it is a big deal in the world of business. There are repercussions to come, I am told. But Hunterbrook itself is a fascinating story. So I say public data, I keep on stressing that. What Hunterbrook Media does is it analyzes publicly available information. So that voicemail was actually leaked to a Facebook group of mortgage brokers. The data we're talking about, what Hunterbrook did was analyze truly giant, enormous databases of publicly available federal and county level mortgage information to find out, okay, what are Americans getting charged by these independent brokers? Who are the independent brokers really? How loyalist to Ishbia are they? And simultaneously, I should also point this out, what Hunterbrook does is they publish this information and an affiliated trading arm, Hunterbrook Capital, then takes out financial positions on that reporting. It's a new model to support investigative reporting. That itself is controversial, of course. They are transparent about all of it. But of course, the next step of this conversation is Matt Ishbia just released a statement yesterday, and I'll direct people to find it online so I don't misquote it. But he's saying this is all biased reporting by a hedge fund short seller. And some of that, I understand the misinterpretation, but a lot of this is going to be litigated out in public because Matt Ishbia is seemingly fighting for his life because that is the degree to which this is a serious story.
The author... he's written several really interesting books with, or co-authored several interesting books, including one with Eric Holder, who is the former Attorney General of the United States. How much of that relationship there informed kind of what he saw and what United Wholesale Mortgage is doing?
Yeah, I mean, what they did was consult legal experts. I mean, it's not just the fact that they went to the highest level lawyers in the country to say, does this sound fishy? They went to experts who connected the dots here, right? So what happened in 08 was all of these regulations came to be about how you got to protect American home buyers, because again, mortgage brokers were at the center of it. And what this article that Hunterbrook published is arguing is that what Matt Ishbia and United Wholesale Mortgage have been doing is skirting those rules, is violating the idea of we need to protect the American home buyer by disclosing fully who these people are really working for and who they're working with. And so all of this, Amin, has absolutely very real legal consequences that have been vetted by people who are not employed by Hunter Brook Media, are not me. And by the way, the story goes to the top in terms of Janet Yellen, Secretary of the United States Treasury, pointing out that she is worried, this was months ago, mm-hmm. about these private lending companies like UWM, like Rocket Mortgage, taking the place of the big banks who got essentially incentivized to leave this space because of regulation. And so what are these private lenders doing has been a question the entire time. What I didn't fully realize was how this question also helped explain a national NBA mystery, which is, what in the hell is Isaiah Thomas doing with the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah,
that's the other part of the story.
And I think that's the important part of the story for sports fans who might hear mortgages and securities and our lawyers and don't care about that. How does it relate in the sports world? There's two things. One is the relationship with Isaiah Thomas, and the other is that the finances that this team is buffered by are happening under these auspices, right?
Yeah, and look, Isaiah Thomas, we have confirmed, we did the reporting on this part, was an independent board member of United Wholesale Mortgage. What does this mean? It means that on a board of a company, you're supposed to have people who are there to, of course, decide what compensation the family gets. In this case, the family, the Ishbias, who run the company, and also to be a guardrail against the malfeasance, the specific type of malfeasance that Hunter Brook discovered. And Isaiah Thomas wasn't in a position to be that guardrail. I'm not saying that Isaiah Thomas specifically was devising the mortgage strategies that are discussed in Hunter Brook's reporting. What I am saying is that he, as a board member who is paid a six-figure salary annually, was there as a supposed guardrail. In fact, an independent one. And the independent part for years has been, it turns out, at issue. Because simultaneous to all of this, you may recall what Chris Paul was saying when he got traded from the Suns, right? Mm-hmm. He gives an interview to the New York Times, and he says three separate times the reason he is no longer with the Suns, that he got traded in that Bradley Beal deal, was because of Matt and Isaiah. Matt and Isaiah, Matt and Isaiah. He was just the latest voice to indicate that, in fact, one of the most influential voices determining the basketball operations of the Phoenix Suns has been Isaiah Thomas, who happens to be Matt Ishbia's childhood idol and a guy he trusts enough to put on the board of the biggest mortgage lending company in America. So all of this connects in a way that the episode spells out. These are really top line descriptions, but it is incredible to realize how the dots connect through that NBA gossip story into, again, a potential enormous financial story.
Check out the episode. It's an important conversation. I'm glad we're having it. Pablo, you mentioned your last trip to Albany. You went to some sort of debate competition. Were you attending or competing?
I was I'll disclose. I was the president of the New York State champion Lincoln Douglas debate team. So
that doesn't answer the question, though. You might have just gone recreationally as an enthusiast.
Get a ring for that? Or what?
I met the criteria to win a state championship. But was I competing in the debate itself?
Yeah.
Maybe not. I was the leader. My leadership is an important criteria that I met for winning a state title.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.